Picks his way to the right and is tripped up, reaching for the end zone. Touchdown. What a start.
Give it to Reed, and there he goes. Nobody's going to catch him. Touchdown.
It's caught. Jeremiah Smith. Touchdown, Ohio State. The legend grows.
This is Chasing the Natty, a college fantasy football podcast.
All right, welcome in, everyone. This is Jared Palmgren, host of the Chasing the Natty podcast. Hope you guys are having a wonderful ride to your right. Oh, and here we go, already messing up the stream. Hope you guys are having a wonderful time on this Tuesday night as we are all hanging out here to discuss college fantasy. We are the College Fantasy Football Podcast on the Campus to Canton Podcast Network. You can find us on all of your podcast feeds and on YouTube every Monday morning during the season, 6 a.m. sharp. You can also find us now live at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Tuesday nights, which if you are listening to this show live, you know exactly that is what we are doing here. If you want to support the great work we do here, head on over to campustocanton.com. Subscribe there with any of our phenomenal tiers. We got content ranging on all sorts of college football games, whether that's CFF, Devi, C2C, College IDP, College DFS, Underdog Best Ball. If you play it, then we've got content, whether that's tools, rankings, pretty much everything you need to succeed. In fact, if you want to support the show directly, you can make sure when you sign up for one of those yearly membership tiers, you use the promo code Natty, N-A-T-T-Y. Again, that is promo code N-A-T-T-Y. I'll say it a little slower that time because I nearly tripped over myself there just now. And again, if you can't do that, totally fine. If you're listening to the show live, you can do this as well. Make sure you leave a like on the video. Make sure you comment all night in the chat. Make sure you're subscribed on the YouTube side of things. If you're listening to this on the podcast later, make sure you leave a 5-star review. Make sure you're following the show. Not only is that show of support, but also the game of college fantasy football in general. If you have any questions or just want to get in touch for whatever reason, you can find me in the show on Twitter. I'm at @CFF_Jared. The show is at Chasing the Natty. And if you're joining us live, you can ask questions right here. Again, that is what we are here tonight to do. This is a little bit of an experiment. We kind of did something like this towards the end last year. Things really just kind of caught up with me at the end of last year. I think championship week, myself and Justin Leo hopped on here live to answer start sit questions, and it went pretty okay. And so again, with life continuing to get busier and busier for me, again, I got engaged this year, so I am having to try to plan a wedding here. I am having to, handle my, unfortunately 40-hour week job. I'm not a grad school student anymore. This is what we're going to do. I'm trying it out here. Again, I love it. You guys are bustling in the chat already. We got a lot of questions to get to tonight. You guys are doing phenomenal filling up the chat with those. So I will try to get through those one at a time. So please be patient with me. There are a lot of questions here. And we'll get to as many of them as I possibly can here within the next hour. We'll be going from 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. Just again, getting as many questions in as possible. And those questions are mostly going to be start sit questions for college fantasy. The rules are going to be up on the screen here when I switch over to my other screen here. Basically, the three rules that I have. One, three or less players, please. I love helping you guys out with your rosters, but I need you to narrow it down at least to about three players for me to choose between. Otherwise, I'm going to be here all night with some of these questions. And then you got to tell me how many players you need me to start. So it's one or two. And then if you can, really would appreciate if you would go ahead and put their opponent there with it, because as much as I feel like I can memorize every matchup every single week, I definitely don't have that big a brain. So, that being said, let me go ahead and switch on over to the other screen here. Again, you guys can see the chat up there on the screen. A lot of you guys have been leaving questions in the chat. Some people will get to tonight. Brett Pagny got here early. He got his question in early, so we'll definitely get to him. David Burley, I see your question. Anderson Brookhart, Joshua Jeffcoat, Nathan Knockin. Also, if I'm pronouncing any of y'all's names incorrectly, I apologize greatly. I'm just doing my best as I can. Hunter Walker, I see your question. Again, you guys are doing well tonight with the question, so we'll get to as many of those as possible. Some other things I want to do here to try to... Oh, yeah, I forgot. I am looking snazzy tonight. I'm still in my work clothes. So, other things I want to do here tonight to kind of boost y'all's engagement a little bit. One, I do have our Campus of Canton weekly rankings up here on the screen. So every one of these questions, I am going to look it up. We'll see what the projections have to say for this week for these questions, and we'll kind of go from there. In addition, I just realized literally about 5 minutes before the stream here that I can actually ask you guys, like, I can put y'all's questions, I can send it back out to you guys, and you guys can put your own feedback on some of these questions. So we'll actually go ahead and start with the very first one here from Brett Ponyig, and he got here early. So he's got a half PPR league, 15% FCS penalty discount. He is choosing between LJ Martin versus Portland State, Hollywood Smothers at home versus East Carolina, or Jaden Thomas at Sam Houston State. I'm going to start a poll in the chat, and you guys can go ahead and provide feedback on that question, and then I'll go ahead as well and get those three names on the board here. So you guys let me know in the chat which way you would be thinking on this question. So again, we got Smothers, we got LJ Martin, and we got Jaden Thomas. So looking at the projections here, our projections have Smothers at the top. Not a huge difference between these. I should mention that our projections are assuming a full point PPR and I believe 4 point passing touchdowns for everybody out there. Not that that matters with running backs here, but our projections have Dalen Smothers at about 14.4 points. Meanwhile, LJ Martin and Jaden Thomas right there next to each other, about 12.4 points apiece. And Brett, you specifically said you're kind of needing a high floor here. And I think that is the direction that I would lean as well, especially in week one, going with a lot of known commodities. And with that being said, I think I'm going to lean towards Dalen Smothers here. I'm going to agree with the projections here. I think that NC State versus East Carolina of these three matchups has the most potential to be decently high scoring. East Carolina's given NC State quite a few problems in their last couple of matchups, so I do think it'll be a relatively competitive game. And if we go over here to DraftKings, it's not sponsored in any way, shape, or form. Just to let everybody know, this is just the only place that I can look up very quickly the over-unders and the spreads of different games. So if we go and find, you know, I bet it's ECU is what they have it. Nope. See, this is the joys of doing this live. Okay, there we go. So yeah, NC State about 14-point favorite, over-under of 61.5. So decently high-scoring game Vegas is expecting here. Meanwhile, I bet if we went to, I guess they don't have a spread on the BYU game. Makes sense. They're playing an FCS school. And then what was the third one? Oh, yes, Sam Houston, UNLV. So we'll go to UNLV here. Okay, another decently high-scoring game there with Sam Houston, UNLV. But I would say I would say LJ Martin definitely out here, especially with that 15% discount on FCS opponents. I wouldn't go that direction, which I find interesting because I'm looking at the poll right now, and I actually see that LJ Martin's winning the poll with 56%. Again, I'll remind everybody, he did say 15% discount on FCS players there. But I do think it is down between Smothers and Jaden Thomas for me, and I think I'm going to lean towards Smothers mostly because I think I can rely on volume just a little bit more there, Brett. So that's my answer for you. And yeah, I think we'll go ahead and move on to the next question here. Brett, you can tell me in the chat if that was to your liking. We're going to end your poll there. Again, LJ Martin wins the public poll. I say we go with Dalen Smothers out of the three there. So next question here, David Burley says he needs two of the following. So he's asking between Caden Durham, Adam Randall, Kyson Brown, Wayshon Parker. David, if you are listening, buddy, we can come back to this question. I need you to drop that down to three players for me, all right? Three players. We'll just move on to Anderson's question here. He says, 6 point passing touchdown league, Dwayne Coleman against Tarleton State or Brendan Lewis versus Chattanooga. So I'll go ahead and plug those in to our weekly projections here. Curious to see where our projections have it. Yeah, Brendan Lewis has it at 22. Dwayne Coleman about 20.8. And I'll go ahead and put that in the chat as well. Let me find the button to add another poll. Start poll. All right, so who would you... I can't spell. Give me a second. Maybe I need to hire an assistant to create these polls for me. That way I can keep talking to you guys directly. Again, this is just me testing things out. So Brendan Lewis or Dwayne Coleman. All right, start the poll. You guys can answer there. Again, two FCS opponents. Again, we're kind of, it seems like we're kind of shooting for upside here. It seems like a bit of a deeper league between these guys. This is always kind of fun though, right? Where, you know, you have teams going up against FCS opponents and you're not sure exactly how long they're actually going to last out there. But I think usually with G5 opponents, you tend to see that a whole lot less. You tend to see them starting their players full time regardless, because that gap between, you know, G5 opponents and FCS opponents isn't quite as large. There's not as many blowouts. Or if it is a blowout, you typically see the group of five teams take a little bit longer to get there. So I think obviously with both these guys facing FCS teams, that kind of evens that out a little bit. I say between these two, again, I'll agree with projections here and go with Brendan Lewis. I think you have a bit more of a settled offensive system there with Memphis, even though Brendan Lewis is a little bit different of a quarterback than they normally have there. I do kind of, I trust that staff to kind of get things going a little bit. Army was awesome last year, and I totally understand why you would want to go ahead and start Dwayne Coleman. But Lewis, at least, we've not only seen be a starter at the G5 level, we've seen him be a CFF relevant starter pretty often. Now, again, Coleman, I think, has a very good upside in that Army system. If he's even, you know, 70% of what Bryson Daly was last year, he'll be great for CFF. But Anderson, I think I would lean towards Brendan Lewis, especially with that 6-point passing touchdown. Like, I can see Brendan Lewis ending the day with 3 passing touchdowns versus Dwayne Coleman could be almost entirely reliant on rushing touchdowns. And I think that'll kind of even out between the two of them. So I would lean towards Brendan Lewis out of those two. So let me check here real quick. Anderson left a comment. He said it's 3 QB starting. I just don't know who to put in that third spot. Again, I would say Lewis. I trust that Memphis offense just a little bit more. And it looks like the chat is agreeing. It looks like about 2/3 Brendan Lewis versus 1/3 for Dwayne Coleman. So Anderson, hope that satisfies your answer there. I think we can go ahead and move on to the next one. Just going to check to see if David has responded with another one, like if he cut it down to 3 yet. No, it does not seem like he has gotten there yet. So unfortunately, we'll have to keep moving along. We'll move to Josh Jeffcoat's next question here. And he says, need to start 2 wide receivers. We got Hawkins against Ashton Hawkins, wide receiver Baylor versus Auburn. Mekhi Lemon, wide receiver to USC versus Missouri State, or Caleb Douglas, wide receiver, Texas Tech versus Arkansas Pine Bluff. So, Josh, let me go ahead and plug these into the projections here. I will say, just off the top of my head, I'm not really thinking too hard about this. I think you have 2 potential wide receiver ones here and going up against pretty easy opponents here. Versus Ashton Hawkins, and again, the projections are agreeing with me here. They've got him behind quite a bit here. I think that Hawkins being a wide receiver 2, going up in a matchup against Auburn that is certainly much tougher than any of what Douglas or Lemon's going to have to deal with this week, I think it's a pretty easy cut between those 3. Again, I can put this in the chat, but I think I don't want to sound too presumptive here, but I think most people in the chat would probably agree with me that you just go with Douglas, go with Lemon. Lemon's, I think, a pretty clear wide receiver 1 at USC for this year, at least in terms of targets. Douglas will be fed plenty in that air raid style system they got going on there at Texas Tech versus Hawkins. Great. I'm not sure I really, again, during the offseason, I wasn't even entirely sure I was in love with the idea of a wide receiver 1 for that offense, let alone a wide receiver 2. So definitely I'll side with the projections here, Caleb Douglas and Mekhi Lemon. So if that satisfies you, let me know, Josh, in the chat. For now, Josh, just for fairness to everybody else, I am going to skip your quarterback question for now. We'll maybe come back to it later if we have some time. But given the number of questions I'm getting in the chat right now, it does seem like that we are going to probably not be able to make it back. But again, that's fine. I'll try to get back to it as best I can. So, Nathaniel Notkin, full PPR league, Jaden Thomas versus Sam Houston, or Lincoln Pear versus Eastern Michigan. Now, this is an interesting one. I'm curious to see what the projections have to say here, because I was a big fan of Pear in the offseason. But, you know, there's a bit of a nagging voice in the back of my head that keeps telling me that I may have that backfield wrong a little bit. I keep saying Pear. His name's actually Perry. I keep feeling like I have that backfield wrong because Greg Burrell is a legitimate talent that has been brought into this room. We do know that they are willing to split the backfield, even if that split backfield still leads to a workhorse style kind of volume. Because we saw Ishmael Mahdi last year, like he got like, I think it was like 35% of the carries, but still was hitting like 180 carries. Like they just run so many plays that it doesn't really matter at the end of the day. But I'm curious to see where the projections are having Lincoln Pear. Interesting, he's RB 40 in our projections versus Jaden Thomas is RB 85. So I guess there is not a huge gap in terms of, you know, raw numbers. I think there's about 2.4 points difference there. I'll throw this into the chat here. Y'all give me a second here. Again, I will try to keep the dead air off as much as possible. I can't. You start, and we'll go ahead and put Lincoln Pear or Jaden Thomas. The good news for you is that, again, these are two G5 matchups where you're likely going to see both of these guys on the field the whole time. You are going to see relatively competitive games. Again, if we go back over here, let's take a look at that UNLV spread again. We are looking at, you know, 10-point favorite over Sam Houston, over under 62.5. So you're looking at UNLV being able to score about, honestly, according to this, about 35 points. And how much are you willing to bet that Jaden Thomas gets at least 1 to 2 of those touchdowns out of the 5 that, you know, Vegas is expecting them to score there? Versus, let's take a look at what Texas State has going up against Eastern Michigan. About 13.5-point favorite. Similar over under. I'm going to go against projection here. I think that I mentioned this in the CTN episode earlier this week, that I think that Jaden Thomas has a decent shot to be a committee buster. Normally we do normally see Dan Mullen have a committee approach at running back, but we really saw this past weekend with our own eyes that Jaden Thomas is pretty clearly the best running back in this room. He has been the best running back at UNLV the last couple of years. Again, he's just kind of been stuck in systems that prefer committee approaches at the running back position. I'm willing to take the shot on Jaden Thomas over Lincoln Perry right now. I think there's, like, in week one, you kind of have to go with some known guys. And as of right now, Jaden Thomas, even though he is in a potential more committee situation, he is the more known guy, and I trust him to break off a big run or two against Sam Houston. Versus Perry, the ceiling's pretty high with Perry. Like, he looked really good at the end of last season against other G5 opponents. The floor could also be really scary. Like, if Greg Burrell is as good as some people think he is, like, Perry could end up being really, really rough this weekend. So I would actually go with Jaden Thomas. I'm curious to see what the public poll has here. The public poll has it at 50-50, so if you have not voted yet, I see about a couple votes in here. I see a lot of y'all watching that are not voting, so throw a few more votes in there. Let's see if we can get this to break a tie for Nathaniel here. Up, two more votes came in, and it's still tied. We need a couple more votes, y'all. Let's see what we got. That being said, I'll go ahead and move on to Hunter Walker's question here. He is asking, between three running backs here, Miles Montgomery, Kavorian Barnes, or Eli Sanders. So the running back out of UCF, TCU, and USC respectively here. Final flex spot in a 12-team league. All right, we're going to go ahead and end the poll. We are going to stick with a 50-50 public opinion on that last question. So, Hunter, let's go ahead and plug in your guys here. We got, again, Miles Montgomery. I'm telling you right now, Eli Sanders just automatically for me, I am not going to be starting him this week, and I think it's pretty clear that he's the RB2 behind Wayman Jordan there at USC. He's gotten some hype from Lincoln Riley recently, but nothing has said that, you know, there's any real change in that depth chart there. So I'll plug him in here just so you can see the projection, but for right now, I would say definitely avoid. Actually, the projection has him over Kavorian Barnes. And so, But I'm basically deciding between Miles Montgomery and Kavorian Barnes. I think they'll be the RB1s for their respective systems. Miles Montgomery, I had notes on depth charts here in case y'all didn't come in here with a ton of questions. And boy, did y'all blow me away with some of these questions that we're getting to already. So good job, all of you guys, because I had notes. I had things prepared to talk about in case, you know, it was slow going tonight. But again, appreciate you guys for the awesome start sit questions here. Yeah, Miles Montgomery, it was interesting to me all offseason because we don't really see Scott Frost typically go with a true RB1. But he has done it before, right? Like Anthony Grant in his final year there at Nebraska was kind of given a true, you know, workhorse role. And I kept having this nagging thought in the back of my head that Miles Montgomery might have that option this year. Now, they bring in Jaden Nixon out of Western Michigan. He's played at the Power 4 level before, not particularly well, but, you know, he's an experienced back, and I could see him eating into Miles Montgomery's workload. But then that depth chart came out, and Miles Montgomery was listed all on his own there at the top of the running back order. Now, do I think that means that he's set for 200-plus carries? No. But I do think, and I kind of agree with the projection here, there's a really good shot that he's just a clear lead back for UCF, and considering they now have Cam Fancher starting at quarterback, I wonder how much they're going to rely on that run game. So I would say, Hunter, that I would go with Miles Montgomery here. Actually, I'll throw the poll here in the chat real quick. You know what? Actually, what I'm going to do real quick is I'm going to copy and paste who would you start so that I can do this a lot faster in the future. And you know what? I'm gonna be lazy. I'm gonna just put their last names in the chat so that, you know, we can get these questions in the chat a lot faster. So we got Montgomery, Barnes, and Sanders. So start the poll there. You know what, actually, I think I'll do now. Again, it's a lot of learning experience tonight, so y'all please be patient with me. I think what I will do is I will go ahead and answer the question outright, and then I'll put the poll in the chat to get y'all's opinion. As much as I know that, you know, what I say might sway what you guys end up putting, as it is doing right now, I see 100% in for Montgomery right now. I think that'll just be better. That way I can just get directly to answering the questions for you guys. So speaking of answering more questions, Hunter, I see you had another question there between three quarterbacks. Again, just like with Josh earlier, I am going to have to go ahead and skip over that for right now just to get to some other people's questions, and then we will get back to your question later if we have some time. Frog fan, you are up next, sir. You got ourselves a quarterback question. You are asking, Micah Alejado going up against Arizona, Sam Levitt versus North Texas, or Parker Navarro versus Rutgers in a 6-point passing half PPR league? All right, Frog fan, let's go ahead and throw your guys in here. I will go ahead and say that I don't trust Parker Navarro this week. He is definitely a guy that, you know, you draft knowing the first couple of weeks of the season are not great, and that you should not be relying on him in these first couple of weeks. So especially with a 6-point passing touchdown league, you're going to see guys like Sam Levitt, like a lot of these more traditional quarterbacks, gain some value in a league like that. So you don't have to try to shoot as much for upside with dual threat quarterbacks like Navarro. I would say avoid it. Our projections have Navarro and Alejado real close at about 20 points apiece. Sam Levitt at 23 points there. I don't even trust that Navarro can get to 20 points this week. I'd say he's a distant third here. I would go with Sam Levitt here. Week one, you're trying to play it safe. There's a lot of unknowns. Sam Levitt, I think, is a pretty solid known here. He's going up against an FCS opponent. Yes, he probably only plays like three quarters in this game, but he should be able to put up some numbers before that point. You got an injured Micah Alejado going up against a Power 4 opponent here. As much as we love Alejado, as much as we like that offense, I do think there's a serious, very low floor there in terms of what could happen with Alejado. And then I already mentioned what could happen with Navarro. So I'm going to lean towards Sam Levitt here. I think that's a very safe floor pick. Yep, and last question, Montgomery blows it away. We'll go ahead and end that poll, and I think I'll go ahead and drop in the next poll here. There we go. And then, yeah, we'll get y'all's opinion real quick. Navarro, Levitt, or Alejado. Y'all let us know. Y'all let Frog Fan know who you would decide between those three. All right. Let me go down here. Let's see. I'm checking the more recent chats just to make sure that y'all are responding and making sure that y'all are satisfied with my answers. Speaking of being satisfied with the product that I'm giving you guys, if you guys are enjoying what you are seeing here and you are liking what we are doing here, go ahead and hit that like button. Let me know in the chat if you like what we're doing here. Let me know if you have any suggestions on what we could do. I think that, you know, this is going decently swimmingly. Again, I'll get better at it as time goes on, right? But, you know, I think for me doing this on my own, I do think what I'll try to do in the future is I do think I do well on these, or at least better on these live streams when I'm not having to speak the entire time. So I'll probably try to bring on some guests here, kind of like how we do the live streams during the off season. It's just a little hard, you know, trying to get some people in the middle of the week, especially now that we're in the season. Everybody's kind of got that in-season grind. Everybody's got their projects they're working on. So we'll see how we're going to be able to do that in the future. But again, if you like what you see here, please go ahead and like the video. It would help out a ton. It would let me know that you guys are liking what you are seeing here. So let's move on to our next question here. This comes from MidVids. He is asking between two G5 quarterbacks here with Drew Messenmaker out of North Texas going up against Lamar this week, or, you know, we got the golden boy from last week, Maverick MacGyver, going up against North Alabama. Again, two G5 opponents going up against FCS opponents. I see both of these guys potentially playing the whole time. And according to our projections here, we got Drew Messenmaker at 25 fantasy points, Maverick MacGyver at 23. I think I'm going to go actually lean away from projection from our weekly lineup here, and I'm going to go with MacGyver. I think that as much as Messenmaker is going to be the starter for North Texas, and he'll play a decent chunk of the game, and his dual threat ability could really kind of put his ceiling through the roof there, they did mention, Eric Morris mentioned, that they are going to try to get, you know, Poffenbarger some run in this game. Now, does that mean we're going to see like a UNLV-type split where they're going to be alternating drives or at any point? I don't think that's quite what's going to happen, but it does tell me that there is going to be a limit to how much Messenmaker is going to be out there versus MacGyver. You know, we saw it last week. They're willing to throw up some points. They're willing to run it up on their opponents. And I think MacGyver will be out there the full 60 minutes, especially if this is a 6-point passing touchdown league. I'm definitely in on MacGyver here, but MidVids, I would lean towards MacGyver, but I would also totally understand if you ended up going with Messenmaker just playing for that absolutely insane upside that he could bring. So this is a poll that I'm interested to hear everybody's thoughts on, because I really think there's an argument to be made for both ways here. I think that MacGyver is definitely the safer floor pick, but Messenmaker, you know, playing for that ceiling week one, I'm curious to see how you guys in the chat would play this. So, got that poll there. See, I'm getting faster at this. This is going a lot more swimmingly. So, yeah, MidVid, got your question here. GP36 says, any thoughts on Dylan Jones' workload versus Buffalo? True freshman running back, but is undisputed number one. Not true freshman. He is a redshirt freshman. But yes, I understand your point. Wondering if 15-plus carries is likely. Thanks. Yeah, Dylan Jones is one of the things I had written down to talk about. I was very much surprised that we got that Wisconsin depth chart. And I'm not surprised that, you know, Jones was, you know, at the top of the depth chart. I was very surprised to see, though, that he wasn't put in an or situation with Darian Dupree. Based on what we heard, that was kind of where I thought we were headed, right? That we would at least get a split to start the season, and then maybe one of those two, more likely Dylan Jones, would kind of break away as the season went along. But no, we got the clear number one back with Dylan Jones on the first team portion of the depth chart, and then Darian Dupree and Cade Iacomelli splitting those second team reps now. Again, does that mean anything? We'll find out for sure this weekend. They played Miami of Ohio. I'm sure we'll get plenty of rotation. They're going to try to keep those guys fresh. 15 carries in a blowout scenario probably is asking a lot for week one. But also, again, they're playing Miami of Ohio, so you maybe don't need 15 carries in order for him to have a great week. I've got him in a couple leagues where I'm starting Dylan Jones this week. So, GP, if you're wanting to do so, I wouldn't blame you whatsoever. So, Santiago Silvestri actually just asked a very topical question. Am I adjusting Mesemaker based on the reports that Poffenbarger will play? Yes, I am. Just a little bit. Not too much. Again, the upside's incredible. He absolutely could put up, you know, he could put up 35 fantasy points by the time the third quarter closes. And then you get a quarter of Rhys Poffenbarger. All right, continuing down here, Brandon Hughes says, which quarterback should I start? Josh Hoover versus North Carolina, Sawyer Robertson versus Auburn, Baron Morton versus Arkansas Pine Bluff in a four-point passing touchdown league. Brandon, this is a great question. I like the three quarterbacks that you have to start here. Let's go ahead and throw them up on the screen here. Let's go ahead and get their projected points. So we got Hoover, Robertson, and Morton. All right, so yeah, according to very, very close in our projections, all basically within half a point of each other. Kind of insane how close that is. So a very good question to ask here, Brandon. I would say this one's kind of tough. Again, 4-point passing touchdown league. You basically have three quarterbacks that are mostly pocket passers, but among the three, I would say that Baron Morton is most likely to kind of get those goal line touches. We've seen it before with this Texas Tech offense. Now, granted, we do have a new offensive coordinator involved here with Matt Leftwich coming into town, so maybe things like that change. But given that, you know, Texas Tech is facing a, you know, lesser opponent in Arkansas Pine Bluff, Arkansas Pine Bluff typically is, you know, bottom of the barrel when it comes to FCS opponents, I think that Morton is your best bet out of these three. Last question, by the way, MacGyver wins 69% to 31%. I think a lot of people are kind of scared off by that comment by Eric Morris about Poffenbarger playing. So I'll end that poll. And I'm curious to see where you guys go with this one, where, again, I'm leaning towards Morton, but Hoover, I would say, is second place. It sounds so obvious as I look at the projections. It sounds like I'm just reading the projections. But I do think that Hoover is your second best chance here. The over-under in that TCU-UNC game, see if I can find it real quick. I think, Carolina probably is the best way to look for that. Yeah, the over-under in that game, you know, 56.5. But the spread's only 3.5. So you're looking at both teams probably finishing with about, 28, 30-ish points expected. I think Hoover can get, you know, all four of those touchdowns potentially. So I think that's a pretty solid play there versus, you know, Sawyer Robertson. Let me take a look at what Baylor's got. Very similar. I for some reason, I was expecting Baylor-Auburn to kind of be a lower score game. Auburn's favored in that game? Huh. I'll be real. I didn't know that before I looked at this. That kind of shocks me. I mean, it could go either way. I mean, that's why the spread's 2.5, right? But like Auburn favored on the road, I'm kind of shocked by that. Anyway, I really think you don't have a bad play between those three. I just think that Morton provides the highest ceiling of the bunch. But again, I'm curious. I'll throw it out here real quick for you guys, and you guys can decide in the poll. So, all right, let's get the poll out of the way. Let's scroll back up and everything. All right. So, Brandon, we got your question done. David Chin, good sir, welcome to the stream. Appreciate it, man. You're asking Texas Tech, so another Baron Morton question here against Arkansas Pine Bluff or Arch Manning versus Ohio State. This is week one in a nutshell, right, guys? Like, you either have guys who are playing, you know, bottom tier FCS opponents and could be out by the third quarter, or you have absolute studs like Arch Manning who have really tough matchups week one because they got really good matchups this year for week one. You got Arch Manning going up against that Ohio State defense. It's tough to really know which way to go on that. Like, that was going to be one of the matchups that, again, if you guys didn't provide me questions, I was going to discuss a little bit more with you guys, get your thoughts on. But how I'll ask you guys, like, in the chat, like, respond to me, man. How are you guys playing Ohio State and Texas players this week? I think there's enough good matchups that I'm mostly sitting them for the most part. But you know, this isn't a game where, you know, you couldn't see one of those teams really taking off if, you know, if, like, take Texas, for example. I'm sorry, I'm trying to gather my thoughts here. Ohio State's replacing a lot on defense. They're loaded with talent. Do not get me wrong. But, you know, week one, there's a really decent shot that the talent level of Texas could be able to take advantage of the inexperience on that Ohio State defense. And we could see Texas score a lot more points in this game than we necessarily think. And that could be the same way, the other way around, right? Like, Ohio State's got some of the best receivers in the country. They're able to go up against the likes of an experienced like Georgia or Alabama defense. Like, they play against the Ohio State defense every single week in practice. Like, even against a good defense, they have the talent level to really just blow up any given week. We saw it last year, right? Ohio State through the playoffs was just running through team after team after team. So I think there's a possibility that we could still see good production. But projections here say Arch Manning, not by much. Again, about a point and a quarter there. I would still lean towards Morton. I would say, you know, we know the Texas Tech's going to put up some points. They're going to light up the scoreboard against Arkansas Pine Bluff versus this, you know, Texas Ohio State game. I think the over under on this game on some books was as low as like 47. I think the high was like 50. So let me see if I can find them real quick. Yeah, here it is. Yeah, 47.5. So You're playing with a bit of fire there with, you're playing with a bit of fire there, I think, starting Arch Manning. I'd rather go with Baron Morton. So, oh, interesting. Last question we had between Hoover, Mort, and Robinson. We're actually getting a public opinion of Hoover winning that one. So, interesting, guys. Interesting. So, I'll end that poll. We'll throw this one up real quick here. And, yeah, so Morton or Manning? Are you guys going to go with the easy matchup, or are you going to go with the star-studded potential of a Manning? We'll find out. All right, let's minimize that. Scroll back up here. Let's see. I'm just trying to make sure I don't miss anybody obvious here. John Ludovina, welcome to the stream, man. He says, Maverick MacGyver against North Alabama or Veltkamp versus Maryland. Man, That FAU matchup versus Maryland is another kind of tough one, right? Because you want to start studs like Easton Messer, like Veltkamp, right? But they are going up against a Power 4 opponent. Granted, it's not the greatest one in the world with Maryland, but it is something that definitely makes you stop and think. I have a feeling that, yep, again, the projections have Maverick MacGyver over Veltkamp here. I do think this is one of the, you know, sketchier matchups of Veltkamp. I think if you have to play Veltkamp, you can still feel pretty decent. I think I did the math earlier because I this is another game I was going to talk about. FAU's team total in this game is about 21.5, so about 3 touchdowns worth. I would just ask you, like, John or anybody planning on starting Ludovina this week, you know, are you comfortable with hoping Veltkamp gets all 3 of those touchdowns against Maryland, and assuming they even get to that 21.5 team total there, right? I think the safer play here is MacGyver. Unless y'all want it, I'll probably not put this poll in the chat here, but I think that's kind of the safe way to go. So I'll probably try to keep going a little bit faster here. Y'all got so many questions here. I'm trying to get to as many of them as possible, but I don't know that we're going to be able to get to all of them. We still only got about 20 minutes left here. So, but, you know, that could also end up being an eternity for me. We'll find out. We'll move on to the next question here from Austin Wood. He says, hey, Jared, start 1 6-point passing touchdown quarterback here. So he's got 3 guys here. He's got Josh Hoover, Drew Messemaker, or Sawyer Robertson. 3 guys that we kind of already discussed here. I'll throw their projections up. I do believe, based on what I remember, that, you know, Drew Messemaker is going to end up being on top here of these 3. But again, the projections assume 4-point passing touchdowns. So I do think if you make it 6-point passing touchdowns, suddenly Hoover and Robertson probably a little bit closer in that range. I still think that I think the offensive ceiling for both Hoover and Robertson, while a decent ceiling there, you know, in both teams expected to put up about 28 to 30 points in the respective matchup. I still think that you probably play the ceiling with Mestemaker there. I think that, you know, Auburn-Baylor, I could absolutely see end up going well under that. You know, I think it was like 57.5 total. I could see that becoming a bit more of a defensive shootout. So I'd probably scratch out Robertson there. And that would leave Hoover and Mestemaker. Hoover obviously would be great. But we know that North Texas isn't going to really score a ton with their running backs. I think Mestemaker can kind of monopolize some of those touchdowns a little bit more. So I do think I'm going to lean towards Mestemaker, Austin. Again, this is another one that I'll be curious when I throw it into the chat here, what you guys do. Morton won the last question, by the way, for those that were curious. But again, this is another one I'm kind of curious. If y'all are, once again, kind of scared of Mestemaker this week and would rather go somewhere safer with like a Hoover or a Robertson, curious to see what you guys end up doing there. So, all right, we'll keep it rolling here. Let's see who else we got here. Again, I'm just trying to make sure I'm not missing anybody that I haven't gotten a question from already. Anderson, we already got one of your questions. So I'll come back to you if we are able to get through everybody else's question here. Eric Steinberg says, going to pick up Matthew Henry. Who should I drop between Hudson Clement or Colin Lacy? Dane Key and McEwen also available. Drop Hudson Clement. I think that as much as I love Clement's talent and everything, I think that might have been a situation that we, the CFF community, just misread entirely. Based on the fall camp reports, Clement might be able to work his way into the starting lineup as the season goes along, but definitely sounds like he's going to start as a backup for this, for these first couple of games. Again, he missed a decent chunk of the offseason with injury. I would just drop Clement, and Henry would easily be a much better pickup than that. So, let's see. Anybody else here? Or anybody else? We definitely got questions here. I know we do. I was looking through the chat earlier. Donald Gable. Gable, I think. Sorry, Donald, if I'm just... Sounds like I'm making fun of your name. I promise I'm not. I'm just terrible at pronouncing people. He is asking between two wide receivers here, Dane Key versus Cincinnati or Danny Scudero home against Central Michigan. This is a fun one. I like this. We'll go ahead and throw it. We'll throw the two names up here. I'm curious to see what the projections have to say here. They have, Scudero by a lot. Wow. I'm kind of shocked by that. I mean, I kind of get it. The projections are probably still plugging in quite a bit from Nick Nash last season. Obviously, you know, not too terribly much. Otherwise, Scudero would probably be projected for like 25 points rather than the 15 that we're looking at here. Dane Key down there at 10. I'm curious. I don't know these two's games like over under off the top of my head. Let me see if I can find that real quick. San Jose. Okay, so San Jose State versus Central Michigan, over under a 50.5, 11 point favorite. So you're probably looking at about 30-ish points for San Jose. I could bet on Scudero scoring a touchdown or two, especially with him now listed as the official starting slot wide receiver for San Jose State. I saw some people talking about that, and you know, they're like, Scudero to the moon. Still could be wrong. It's obviously very good that he is listed over Matthew Coleman on that depth chart. I will say though that they did make it pretty clear that they're going to run a lot of four wide receiver sets. So I still think we're going to see a lot of Coleman, a lot of Scudero out there, and they'll probably be splitting a lot of what Nick Nash got last year. But that's still, even if you split it evenly, what Nick Nash got last year, you got 171 targets in 12 games. That's 85 targets for both Scudero and Coleman. That could still end up being really, really solid for both of them. And so that was San Jose State, Central Michigan, over under 50.5 in that game. What was the other game that we were considering here? Cincinnati and Nebraska. Nebraska. What am I even saying? This is... way lower. I don't say way, but, you know, about 5 points lower on the over-under there. Oh, wait. No, that's the wrong Nebraska game. That's week 2 against Michigan. Okay, so 52.5. Nebraska about a 6.5-point favorite here. This one's really tough because, like, system-wise, I want to go Dane Key. Again, being the number one option for Dana Holgorsen could really, really end up paying off, and especially in a matchup where, you know, Nebraska, I think, is favored against Cincinnati, and I trust Nebraska to score against Cincinnati's defense way more than I trust Cincinnati to score against Nebraska's defense. But my thing is, like, we haven't seen either of these guys, right? So, God, this one's tough. This one's real, real tough. I will say, though, Donald, like, I definitely understand your hesitancy to start Scudero over, or not Scudero, to start Dane Key. Because I've looked at Dane Key in quite a bit of my lineups, and to me, like, much like Auburn and Baylor, that matchup to me just seems like it could go end up going under, and there's a lot of low scoring, and I'm not entirely sure if I truly trust Dane Key yet to, you know, monopolize any of those touchdowns, versus Central Michigan, San Jose State's almost the opposite, where I could see that going decently well over the 50.5 just on vibes. This is pure Chris K moment, just going on vibes, man. Like, Central Michigan, San Jose State strikes me as a game that could end up with a total in the 60s versus, you know, Nebraska, Cincinnati. That could end up being a game that totals in the 40s. So I'm going to say Danny Scudero here. Again, I'm curious to see where what you guys decide. By the way, very close in the last poll. Again, Robertson, distant third. But Hoover and Messemaker were going back and forth there for a while. Hoover is going to end the poll with 47.5%, but Messemaker not far behind with 40%. This question, though, between Scudero and Dane Key, I'm curious to see where you guys end up coming down. So Dane Key, Danny Scudero, start the poll, and then we can move on to the next question here. Let's see. All right, so there we go. Got Donald's question done. Adam Huddle says, sorry, late if this was covered, but did Messemaker projection take a hit with the POF news? Again, I personally am taking a little bit of a hit to Messemaker's expectation this weekend. Not too much, because again, his skill set just provides a ton of upside. But I don't know, and I'd have to ask Chris Moxley. I doubt it personally that he would come in here and make that adjustment because of that. But I would say, just personally, how I'm handling like start situations, if I had a really good option that I could replace Messemaker with, I probably would go that direction. Miss Rev makes a comment about the TCU-UNC game, saying he is scared of Belichick's defensive prowess here. I think that's a totally, totally fair thing. Brandon Hughes made a comment about Baron Morton, saying he is scared about playing Morton due to blowout potential. But here's the thing about blowout potential. If they're blowing it out, that means that your guy probably scored a ton of touchdowns, right? It's just a matter of, did you get lucky and, you know, the running backs didn't score all of them. So, Hayden Weingartner says, hey, Jared, what's up? No question here. Just want to stop by and say hey, if that's okay. Totally okay. Love when guys just stop by and say hey. So excited for the season. CTM to the moon as always. I appreciate it, Aiden. Aiden's doing great work over with, Fantasy and Frames. He's doing great work for them over there. So y'all go check out his content as well. Let's see. Frog Fan says, I'm too scared to start Ryan Wingo. I imagine that was back during the Ohio State discussion. Ben Jacob says, hard to sit Wisner and Arch. It really is, but man, it's a tough matchup for week one. Hunter Walker, again, we'll come back to your question if we answer other people's questions here. Ben Jacob has a question. Who would you start at running back between these three guys? Half point PPR. Keywon Lacy, running back for Ole Miss, going up against Georgia State. LJ Martin, running back out of BYU, going up against some FCS opponent. Or Mike Washington, running back out of Arkansas, going up against, I can't remember who they're going up against. So to answer our question, we're just going to go ahead and plug these in to the projections here. Alabama A&M, of course, that's who Arkansas is playing week one. And then let's see, LJ Martin. All right, so projections have these guys all relatively close here. Again, I personally, again, they're all three stud running backs, or again, potential stud running backs going up against easier opponents. I love Keywon Lacy. I think he's such a great talent. Part of me wants to be the, like, to start him here, but I think in week one, you're going to have to lean towards a guy like LJ Martin, right? One, Bear Brockmeyer, true freshman quarterback. They're not going to, I mean, it is against Portland State, right? But at the same time, like, they're going to want to get out of that game pretty early. They're not going to want to ask him to do too much here. Their game plan coming in probably is going to just run the ball. I think we know that LJ Martin's a workhorse back for BYU, as long as he can stay healthy, obviously. And so I would actually start LJ Martin of these three, just because Kewon Lacy, Mike Washington, I just think we need to see them do it first before we start getting too excited. Obviously, both of these guys were listed atop their respective schools' running backs all alone, no or. Obviously, that's great to see. But in terms of week one here, let's just go with the safer option with LJ Martin here. I'm curious to see if people agree with me here in the chat. Speaking of the chat, the last question here with Dane Key and Danny Scudera is currently tied at 50-50. I'm going to give y'all about 5 seconds for another person to cast their vote in here and see if we can break that 50-50 tie. If not, we'll go ahead and throw Ben's question here to you guys and figure out what you want to do. So 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and Dane Key will win the poll with 55% of the vote. So good job, y'all. Let's go ahead and throw Ben's question in here. It is funny seeing all the different questions and which ones get a ton of votes, which ones get very few votes. It definitely tells me which questions you guys find the most interesting. So hopefully you find this one interesting. Again, Kewon Lacy, Mike Washington, LJ Martin, you guys to tell me, and Ben, who should start of those three options. So moving on here, it looks like Todd Skid has the next question here. He has Todd, that's a lot of okay, we're gonna go with one of your questions here, Todd. You kind of threw three questions into one message here, Todd, trying to cheat a little bit, getting a little cheeky here. We'll just do with your quarterback question here. You got Eli Holstein, Micah Alejado, or Bryson Barnes, right? So we'll go ahead and throw those three up on the screen. My initial thought is, again, play it safe. Sit Alejado this week. I think that with his injury concerns, with him going up against Arizona, not that Arizona has a great defense or anything like that, I do think that, you know, you just play it safe. I think that he has the lowest floor of the bunch. Meanwhile, Bryson Barnes and Eli Holstein, much better matchups in general here. Obviously, Holstein's got that really nice, easy opponent versus Duquesne. He could go absolutely wild if his rushing ability is back. Meanwhile, you have Bryson Barnes here, Utah State going up against UTEP. I don't know how many of y'all have looked up this game, but if I remember correctly, I did look up this game earlier. Yeah, over under 60.5. Utah State only a 6-point favorite here. There's a lot of shootout potential between Utah State and UTEP in this game. Could end up being we watch two terrible offenses that are still figuring things out in week one. This is a tough one again between Holstein and Barnes, because, like, you know, Barnes I trust to play the full 60 minutes. Vegas thinks it's going to be a high scoring game versus Holstein. Outmatches Duquesne, could absolutely go bonkers. He could also be sitting after 2.5 quarters. And also could be just the Desmond Reed show the entire time. So I think I'm going to risk it for the biscuit. I think I'm going to say Bryson Barnes over Eli Holstein, even though, like, Holstein's technically our more known commodity between these two. I think I'm going to trust the game where actually Barnes is going to be out there the whole time. But again, that game has such a potential to be a stinker between those two offenses with so much unknown on both sides there. So it's like, it's a tough one, Todd. But I think I'm going to lean towards Barnes. And again, I'm curious to see what you guys here in the chat have to say. So, by the way, last poll, LJ Martin wins with 44%. Mike Washington gets 33%. Kewon Lacy with 22%. Y'all are really buying into that Mike Washington hype. I don't necessarily blame you, but I do find it curious that he got second place in this poll. So we'll end that poll and we'll throw this out here. Todd's question. Once again, this is Holstein. Oop. Can't type. Holstein versus Barnes versus Alejado. Again, I do think Alejado is a pretty easy sit between those three. But again, you guys let me know in the chat. Let me know through the poll. Let's see. Bo Vissi says, do you think Emmett Johnson will be good this year? Yeah, I think Emmett Johnson will be good this year. I think in a PPR league, he's fantastic. I think he has a decent shot to lead the country in receptions at running back. And that's saying something because we got the likes of Desmond Reed out there. So Emmett Johnson could be really, really good, especially for PPR formats this year. All right, we got 5 minutes left here, y'all. So I'm gonna try to get through these questions here real quick. Christopher Bilski says, PPR pick between Davian Gauss, Julian Gray, and Jakai Middlebrook. All right, I'm curious to see where our projections have this. So we got Gauss, we got Gray, and we have Middlebrook. Ooh, boy, our projections love Davian Gauss this week. Ooh, they don't love Jakai Middlebrook out of... Oh, man, that's... I don't know if I agree with these, because Jakai Middlebrook, they really talked about him this offseason as like the clear RB1 for Middle Tennessee. Now, what kind of value does that actually provide? I don't know, but I do know MTSU is starting to move away from its kind of air raid tendencies of the past couple of years. So I very much believe that Jakai Middlebrook will outperform that 10 fantasy points there projected by the website. I also just realized that y'all can't see that, so let me scroll down there. Julian Gray, you know, 14 fantasy points there. Davian Gauss out of North Carolina going against TCU. Gray's interesting because his value to me is more about him having that wide receiver eligibility, which I've seen in some leagues he doesn't have anymore. In other leagues, he still has. I'm not entirely sure exactly how that's working out. But at running back, I don't love Gray as much. I think just to kind of be quick about this and try to get through as many questions as I can before things get out of hand here, before we get out of here, I think that I'm going to lean towards Gauss of this bunch. I think North Carolina is going to try to run the ball quite a bit. Gauss will be at the forefront of that. So I'll throw this in the chat, see what you guys think. The last question here, we got a couple more votes coming in here. Barnes and Holstein real close together. Oh, Barnes just took the lead. Oh, okay, Barnes took the lead. We're going to end the poll there. And yeah, Barnes with 45% of the vote, Holstein with 36% of the vote, Alejandro with 18% of the vote. So let's throw up our last question here, or not our last question of the night, but our previous question, I should say, from Christopher here. So Gauss, Gray, and Middlebrook. Again, I think that we go with Gauss. Again, none of these options are really known commodities, so I think I'll just go with a system that I am pretty certain is going to try to run the ball. All right. Let's see. Any kind of other questions? All right, we got two questions in the chat from people that haven't asked questions yet. Again, I know Anderson, I know some of you other guys asked extra questions. Don't think we're going to have time to get to those, so I'm going to try to finish up the two questions here from David Burley and Bo Vista. David, appreciate you for narrowing down your options to three guys here. You need two guys out of Caden Durham, Adam Randall, or Wayshon Parker versus UCLA. So, again, LSU Clemson is another one of these matchups where I'm not entirely sure what to expect. I could see it becoming an absolute shootout between those two offenses, but those defenses are no joke in terms of their talent level, right? Now, LSU's defense has been questionable the last couple of years, and Clemson's defense last year certainly not up to standard, but they did go and grab Tom Allen out of Penn State. I think he'll get them back on track. So there's a lot up in the air about that matchup, and you got two running backs here that are in that matchup. I would say that Parker, and I would agree with projections here, is the guy that I'm more comfortable with. Again, 18 fantasy points projected here. I think that he'll be the clear RB1 for Utah. I don't care what they said about a split backfield between him and Naquiri Rogers. I think that, you know, Parker's the main guy there. UCLA definitely still working its way back. I think that they'll be fine. UCLA versus Utah here. Again, over under 52.5. Utah only favored by 6 points. Plenty of opportunity for Parker to get some points there. And then let's look at LSU Clemson. I haven't looked at the over under in this game. LSU, oh, It was just right there, and I just skipped on right past it. Okay, decently high over-under here, 57.5. You know, Clemson favored by 3.5 points. So, you know, they're expecting about both teams to score about 4 touchdowns, maybe a field goal difference, but or quite. Oh my God, Jared, how obvious! 3.5 point spread. Oh, it's gonna be a 3 point or a field goal difference between these teams, most likely. Oh man, you guys can tell I'm getting tired here as we try to finish up here. I would say that I'm gonna lean towards Adam Randall. I trust Clemson to right the ship on defense a little bit more than LSU, and so you know, with Randall being, by all intents and purposes, it sounds like he'll be the number one guy for Clemson, like the clear number one guy. We're not worried about Davidson this early on in the season. I think that that's who you go with. I would go with Parker. I would go with Randall. Sit Durham for this week. Play Durham down the line. So, ooh, shocker on the last question here. Nobody picking Gray, and a decently even split between Middlebrook and Gauss, but the public going with Middlebrook over the likes of Gauss. So Middlebrook with 57% of the vote on that last poll, and we'll go ahead and throw David's question in here. And I'm gonna say not who would you start in this question, but because he's asking for two, we're gonna say who would you sit. So I would sit personally Durham. I'm curious to see who you guys tell him to sit. I'm sure this won't be confusing at all. Again, last question we'll get to here, at least in terms of start sit. I do see that Meth Labs from the C2C Discord left a question real quick about Scott Trey Humphrey. I can answer that real quick because that's not a full-on start sit question here. Bo Vissi asks, LJ Martin or Emmett Johnson? Again, I'll throw up the projections here. Martin, I think, was projected for about 12.5 points. Let's see what Emmett Johnson is projected for about 15 points. And I personally would agree with that, especially if you are in a PPR league, Visti. I would go with Emmett Johnson. I think that, again, you're in a position where, you know, Nebraska is facing a other Power 4 opponent here. They're going to have their guys out there most of the time. You're not going to have to worry about an increased split in the workload for Johnson because he's facing an inferior opponent. I would go with Johnson there. And again, it's a little quick, so I'm not going to put that question in the poll. Not going to put a question or that question in the poll just yet. I might do so after I answer MethLab's question here about Scott Trey Humphrey, a guy that I've kind of gone back and forth with. MethLab's basically said, you know, he's in the 25th round, middle of a C2C draft, which, by the way, if you're still finishing up your drafts, boy, you guys are cutting it close. He's looking for some RB CFF production. 25th round, yeah, bro, grab Scott Trey Humphrey. I think that's a pretty solid deal at that point. I don't love the split in workload that, you know, Jason Eck has given his running backs recently. I think they got two other really good options with DeSean Buchanan and DJ McKinney coming in. But, you know, Eck's been gushing about Scott Trey Humphrey the entire offseason. I wouldn't be surprised at all if this ends up being a running back or a, you know, workhorse running back situation. I'm actually curious. Now that you asked him, let's see what I don't think our projections would be great for him this weekend, right? Because they're going up against, what, Michigan? Oh, yeah, disgusting. 10 points. I wouldn't trust that. But, like, picking him for, you know, full season? Yeah, go ahead, man. I think that's a great 25th round pick. So, all righty. Whew, I'm tired. Let me drink some water. Good Lord. All right. I think that's about it, y'all. Again, I appreciate all of you guys for tuning in. Again, if you got any last-minute suggestions in the chat or how we can do better next time, I enjoyed it. Again, my voice is certainly tired here, but had a great time with you guys. Really appreciate you guys coming in and asking great questions all night long. I think we had a really good pace for the entire show here. But if you guys don't have any other comments or anything here, I'm gonna say we've come to the end of our show. Appreciate all of you guys for listening. If you haven't already, make sure you leave a like, a comment, a subscribe before you leave. If you're on the podcast listening to this later, make sure you just follow the show. Leave a 5-star review wherever you can. Make sure you guys tune in next week. Again, we'll have the week one waiver wire show out Monday morning, and then we'll be right back here Tuesday night for an hour discussing some start sit questions. Again, I will make sure I download this from YouTube and convert it for a convert it to a podcast format. Should be out, if not tomorrow morning, definitely by lunchtime tomorrow we'll have this up for you guys. Until then, really appreciate you guys and hope you guys have a wonderful and awesome week one. We're here, y'all. It is time for us to have some fun. Appreciate y'all. Have a blessed week.